3, 2, 1.
Here we go. Tuesday
night. Hey, that was good.
Welcome to this week's episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Ezra Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion, and I'm joined by Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy. Hi, long time no see, Chris.
Desiree, good to see you again, friend.
Yeah. We've been like on separate little no normal trains here the last several months, so it's exciting to get to do a news flash with you.
Same track. Can't wait for the news flash. Love it.
Yeah. So we're coming to you today, Wednesday, July 9th, to take in the headlines from this week on this bite-sized short of a newsflash episode. And we're going to talk holograms. And when I think about holograms, I remember this was like, 12 years ago? This was Coachella 2012. Tupac showed up on the stage with Snoop Dogg and it freaked everybody out. And then since then, there's been random like concerts like Whitney Houston, I think, like in Vegas in a show. And it's just been kind of like this weird thing, but it's showing up in other ways. Like what's been your history with holograms, Chris?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I sounded like a Midwesterner again. Oh my gosh. Back when I was a kid, my sister and I used to play Star Trek. I would get mad because she was always Captain Kirk. And I had to be Spock. I was always the number two. Anyways, holograms were everywhere in Star Trek. They were real. They were lifelike. They were the thing. Mine goes back a little bit further, but it's a futuristic concept that's been out there for a long time.
Yeah, and we're starting to see it a little bit more in everyday, like not just those fantastical science fiction moments and not those like just wonderful creative concert moments, I guess you could say. But we recently ran across an article that's talking about holograms of doctors showing up in a Dallas hospital. I'm kind of curious, Chris, your thoughts on this, especially just given all of your background and knowledge and even just kind of some personal experience.
You know, it's so funny because so many thoughts. And I'll betcha most people would predict, if they know anything about me, that I'd be saying, what is that? That is like not cool, right? But when I saw this article, I was thinking back to when my dad was hospitalized. He was in a critical access hospital. My dad passed away of cancer a year and a half ago. And, you know, toward the end of his illness, he was in the hospital. And being a critical access hospital, they struggle with staffing. So their hospitalist program is telehealth based. And essentially daily, the hospitalist would round and it was a PA and a nurse that were wheeling around this big cart, you know, with the TV and all the things. And they would participate in the visit, and the hospitalist would visit my dad. You know, by television screen, basically. And I think, you know, look, this hospital did a great job taking care of my dad, and I appreciate all the things that they did. This experience, you know, it was weird seeing the thing coming down the hallway, but, you know, I felt like the care was solid, but it didn't feel personal, right? It felt really impersonal. So when I see this hologram thing, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's a way that healthcare could feel more, telehealth in particular, could feel more personal. So that's my take. Des, what's your reaction to it?
Yeah, so, you know, this happened this is a Crescent Regional Hospital. It's in Lancaster, Texas, just, you know, about 13 miles outside of Dallas. And essentially, the doctor kind of shows up in this box in the room, which is cool in the sense of like, you know, you get that, you know, semi-physical interaction. But like for me, I'm thinking about the lack of actual interaction. Like you can't pick up on some of the visual and so cues and social cues from the patient to really understand the nuances, like the wints or what have you. And I think about when I go to the doctor, and this is just like a regular doctor's visit. I think the setup for this is for doing rounds in a hospital. But like, for example, let's say that you suffer from some digestive issues. And when I've gone in, oftentimes the doctor is kind of pressing on my abdomen, trying to figure out if there's any soreness or any kind of, you know, what have you that you'll lose with something like this. So I guess I'm always just kind of wondering about if patients are already kind of feeling disconnected because they're just getting like these short snippets of time with their doctor, you know, will it create more of a connection or less?
Yeah. You know, and again, in the experience that I had with, you know, a telehealth hospitalist, there was a PA and nurse in the room. So, you know, the PA and the nurse and the PA in particular, when prompted by the hospitalist, could do a physical exam. Like I remember them looking at his feet and some different things. So yeah, there was that presence there. I think the thing is, you know, look, this is very futuristic. In my mind, the way this is executed is still definitely not in a way that's going to feel personal. This particular company, you still have to have a box of a person for a hologram. Now, I will tell you, there were all kinds of cool executions that as a marketer I loved. Like you could still, you know, there were different applications beyond healthcare and telehealth. You know, you could do, you know, a hologram of a new car, right, for a media play, a variety of different things. You know, my perspective is this shows the promise in healthcare, but it's still, you know, it's still, to your point, Des, it still feels like it's a little bit of a distance. I almost wonder if a television screen doesn't feel a little bit better because it feels a little bit kind of more real. If you have to see a hologram in a big tall box, what's the difference by seeing a person's face in a small box on a screen, you know? But the idea is the hologram is actually the physician who is speaking to you, right? It's just more of a lifelike physical rendering. I think if you can get Star Trek-like, you know, or maybe even, I'm not familiar with the Tupac thing, but, you know, Tupac looks like he's legit there, you know, not standing in some box, that to me feels like, hey, it could potentially be more personal, but you see the potential of, you know, of the capability. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah, it's like depending on how you are set up and wired, you're either going to be super excited about the idea of this very Black Mirror Twilight Zone idea of a doctor kind of walking actually up to your bedside.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, you're excited or deeply, deeply terrified by this this technology.
Right.
But to your point around the marketing opportunities, that's, you know, there's so many different companies that are doing a version of this. This would happen to be a Dutch company called HoloConnects that provides these mobile boxes. And to that point, I'm even thinking about it from there was a, on the website, they were talking about the hospitality of it and how you can maybe even use that to check into your hotel. Or I think even Stephanie in other conversations have talked about it, the use of the personal from like a checking in at the airport. So I feel like it could be a really helpful tool from a consumer patient experience standpoint of when you're arriving at the hospital, of helping you navigate getting around, or, you know, where do you need to go to visit your family member in that regard. I feel like that could be a really cool use as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's other applications. And the point is, look, you know, and why we're talking about it is something new. It's really innovative. It's something to watch, right? Probably not going to see a hologram near you in the next 6 months, but it's something to say, okay, interesting. Let's see how that develops.
Yeah. So speaking of the continuing development of tech, the AI, I know, Chris, recently you ran across the Deloitte Consumer Health Study and talking about how consumers are looking at AI, especially from like a healthcare standpoint. Kind of curious your thoughts on that one as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's important to kind of keep a pulse on this because it is rapidly, you know, our uses in healthcare are changing rapidly and consumers' perceptions are changing rapidly, not just based on what we're doing, but what's happening with AI in the general space. So Deloitte did a consumer health study. They do this annually. The study included 2,000 adults in March of 2024. It was specific to their use of Gen AI in healthcare. And I think the TLDR finding is really consumers are optimistic about the potential of AI, but adoption remains flat and trust has actually decreased, which I think is kind of interesting. So a lot of things to unpack. The optimism is really around the potential to address health challenges like access and affordability. That is a huge pain for consumers, as we know. You know, 66% of people think it could potentially reduce extended wait time for doctor's appointments, lower individual healthcare costs. They see the potential of it. But despite that, the 2024 survey that Deloitte did showed that adoption of Gen AI for health reasons has remained flat. So, 37% in 2023 versus 40% in, 37% in 2024 versus 40% in 2023. And that was within the margin of error of the survey. So when they're asked why they're not using Gen AI for health and wellness purposes, most consumers chose they don't trust the information. And that was, again, distrust was seen in key demographic groups, particularly millennials, which surprised me, as well as boomers, which didn't as much. So, you know, what's interesting is consumers are whether they like it or not, are perhaps using some of these tools for health information in, you know, the online searches that they're doing. And I think, you know, it seems to be a question of when consumers are seeing potentially inaccurate information, it can cause diminished trust. So there's a real opportunity for healthcare organizations, I think, to kind of step in here. So I want to give you a few minutes, because I know that you've got some thoughts on this as well, to say, hey, what does this all mean?
Yeah, and I know you had mentioned that essentially AI is showing up more and more in our everyday lives. And I guess the way I think about it is, like, you know, how many folks are actually aware of generative AI, the ChatGPTs and all of that good stuff? I always try to keep a pulse on, like, what is the every person, what is their actual experience? Because I, as much as I love the polls and the Pews and all of the folks that are covering this data, I'm like, are you actually going to folks that are in the rural areas and actually speaking directly with them? Are you actually going into some of the households of folks that, because, you know, you and I, we're living and we're breathing this every single day. But as I've talked to just folks in my life, like, a lot of them aren't even aware of ChatGPT. You know, so depending on your career, your background, what have you, you're either maybe aware of it, not touching it because it's not necessary for your life, your lifestyle. So I guess I'm thinking about that trust factor of how can you trust something that you're not even aware of?
Yeah. And I think, you know, consumers, you know, like it or not, they may not be aware that they're seeing, you know, results for searches, for instance, you know, being generated with AI, although it is really being disclosed in some venues. Des, you were sharing that on your mobile device doing a health related search. You didn't see any evidence of an AI search, but desktop related, we certainly see AI overviews. So, you know, I think, you know, again, you know, there may not be a level of awareness, but it's going to continue for some folks, right? And I would venture to say the people that are more active on the internet in general, not even thinking about the healthcare space, are going to potentially see more and more of it. And I know, I mean, you know, I was looking back at my, you know, I was sharing my, I think I mentioned something last year. You know, I did my annual mammogram August of last year. And when I read the test results, it clearly said that, you know, I forget exactly the disclosure, but that, you know, my result was generated with the help of, you know, a computer aided technology. They didn't say AI in general, but, you know.
But yeah, to your point, like, yeah, it's going to start showing up more and more ways that aren't as visible because you're not thinking about it, so you don't see it, right? It's just like when I was looking for a Jeep Wrangler, I saw them everywhere. When I wasn't, I never saw them. But then also just the fact that, as we've talked about in the past around, like, how information spreads, even misinformation, the more you hear about it, the more you start to believe it. So I think because there hasn't been a ton of conversations around it in maybe these everyday lives, but maybe the more that there is something, the more they'll notice and be aware of it.
Yeah. And
so what are...
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess, like, what some of the implications for this are you thinking as it comes to some of our marketers and our comms folks?
I mean, I think the key point is, you know, from a marketing and communications point of view, be in the know About what your organization is doing with AI, be part of the conversations that are shaping how this is disclosed to consumers. I think the whole idea of, you know, consumers are open to their physicians using AI and that data. They just want to be, they want to know when it's happening. They want to make sure that their data is held held privately. So, you know, again, as with most things in healthcare, it's, you know, it's be transparent, emphasize transparency. You know, this particular report said, you know, make sure that you are able to explain, you know, to consumers how you're using the data, how you're monitoring it, how you're assessing its value. I mean, to me, it feels like you need to have a good, solid communications framework for your organization around this, because it's a reputation risk. It's an opportunity at the same time. It's an opportunity to build, you know, trust and adoption. But you certainly have to have your arms around it and be in the know.
Yeah. So it sounds like takeaways for both of our topics around the hologram, as well as the AI trust, is essentially, you know, stay transparent and also just kind of stay open and watch and see how you can utilize it. All right, let's wrap it up. This is another episode. And for all of you listening, thank you so much for joining in. You can always get a hold of us at nonormal@bpdhealthcare.com. Share the show with folks in your life. Send us a review, preferably 5 stars. And until next time, don't ever be set aside with the normal. Push that no normal, y'all. And we'll talk to you soon. 3.